بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. Allah Ta'ala has placed many indications for the people of Iman in the different ayat of Quran. From those surah that were revealed in one and went in one subject matter, the longest perhaps is what is known as Surah Yusuf. It was a surah which gave a timeline to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that exactly as happened with Yusuf alayhi salam will happen with you. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as his life went, he walked on a path which Yusuf he walked on. And coming in Quran and being known as Ahsanul Qasas, the best of incidents, there was an indication that this Ummah would also then have to walk on a road which Yusuf alayhi salam walked. So exactly we will not know what our future, but when someone comes from Umrah and how everyone gets there, how was it, what happened, where to book, because he knows when I'm going to go, most likely I will have to walk the same path you walked. So he will ask him where you booked, what's the best place. In today's time, he will ask him how you managed to beat the system. Different questions will be asked. And each thing that he said will tell the man, this might happen, be ready for it. And if something is said, be ready. And if that person lands on that situation and he doesn't find it, it doesn't harm him. But if he finds that problem, and he was warned beforehand, this might happen. And how much of dua comes out that someone told me, don't make this mistake. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's incident was going to give certain warnings. It was a dream come true. So at the beginning of a problem, it is the system of Almighty Allah. A dream is known as bushra. Bushra means glad tidings. Glad tidings me and you normally wish for when we think there'll be no problems. Almighty Allah gives glad tidings to people where there is going to be problems. It is to say that during the problem, always keep your dream in mind. It will be that dream that will make you reach where you have to go without falling in depression. Yusuf alayhi salam had a dream. When he said, I saw, O my father, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything making sajda. He saw the dream and it was going to pull him through that one day all is going to fall at your feet. Yaqub alayhi salam was told the dream. He was advanced in age and in knowledge. He already understood a dream at the beginning does days. It means to reach your dream you will have to go through some difficulty. Many a person saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dream. So the first day, how happy they were, how happy. One friend of mine, he saw that he had reached the Rawdah many years ago. He had reached the Rawdah and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed the entire Rawdah to open up for him. What that is. And then the command was given or ijazat was given, you may enter. So he entered, what a thing it was. The only thing is, as he entered, then he turned around to say to his children, come in. And then that curtain closed. The curtain closed. So at one, that time, wherever we were, he phoned. Now what a dream it was, like what an honor. But the children were not allowed in. Now what interpretation will you give on the dream? But life itself was going to give the interpretation. It was a few, perhaps months later, or maybe a year later, when his whole life turned upside down. And he came home and his wife was born and his children were gone. Everything, just gone. And how he had to go through that exam after that, until Allah then made arrangements and he got married again. Everything was like running so well. So as I saw him going through that difficulty until finally he got married and alhamdulillah now he's well settled, I used to always think that only one thing took him through. It was that Rasulullah SAW said, you come in with me and I'll walk you through this journey. But your children will not be allowed to enter. Meaning you had to separate from your children to be allowed to reach where you have to reach. So sometimes you see a dream at the beginning. It doesn't mean that the road is going to be easy. The dream was to say the end of the road is unique. Because the end is unique, it's sometimes worth it to go up, down, up, down, up, down. Islam came with a dream. The dream of Islam is what was read at the end of the, what we call the 12th juz, the beginning of the 13th juz. Allah Tabarakala said, the time came, وَكَذَٰلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. In this manner we made Yusuf alayhi salam the strongest on the land. يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. Now he could go wherever he wanted. Now there was no laws governing him. No, now there was no government that was above him. He was going to be the leader of all. Nubuwa was going to rule. The king was going to hand over the keys to him and say, you rather be the king. I will retire. But all of that could only happen if there had to be a whole surah Yusuf in between. What we are living through is in Surah Yusuf. And we have gone through a great part of it. It was at the time when the Isha Iqama was taking place that I entered, I had something else in my mind. And then this verse of Surah Yusuf came in. That's why I said, okay, let me speak of this. May Allah Tawarukana make it beneficial to all. We went through a phase which was this last 2 years when people learned a lot of lessons. One of the lessons which were learned was, don't ever trust tomorrow. We learned it in this manner that before, 6 months before, we would book our ticket for Umrah. Now the person says, I'll book it the last day only. Because laws change so fast suddenly. And whatever I had done, I might lose everything. So we learned one, that don't trust this world. How it was before where the man said, in the next 2 years I'll do this, 3 years I'll do this. COVID taught the world, don't have dreams. Live for the day. Then South Africa had what was known as the riots. That taught at least the people of this area we're supposed to learn that don't live for next year. Next year might not be as rosy as this year. Every day you will have to enjoy the day and prepare for tomorrow. Prepare for tomorrow, don't expect tomorrow. People who took debts, for them is if this year, this month I'm living with 5,000 extra, it means for the next 10 years I'll manage to take out that extra. What we saw in the world and what the world showed everywhere is what you're getting today you may not get tomorrow. The price of things might go unique. Markets might collapse, markets might rise. The rich may become poor, the poor may become rich. At the end of Surah Yusuf, a message was given. Before we come to the message, we'll go very quickly to see how much of Surah Yusuf we already lived through. Yusuf alayhi salam had a dream, and he said to his father, what a dream. Yaqub alayhi salam explained that don't ever mention this dream to your brothers, they will all turn against you. The ones that you trusted, the ones who you thought was yours, Yusuf alayhi salam then saw that. From the eldest to the youngest, everyone united against him. Sometimes you think that my younger brother, the younger one, he got little softness. I can do a deal with him. But when the parties unite, then even yours doesn't remain yours. This ummah saw it, that every country did business with the Muslim ummah, when the Muslim ummah was on its height. But everyone united when it came to bringing the Khilafah to the ground. Everyone smiled when they could benefit from the Muslim. And when the time came to stab, everyone united to stab it. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the brother said, let's kill him. The only thing Almighty Allah was not going to allow death. So Yusuf alayhi salam did not die. They could not kill him. But they could take him out of the picture. Me and you perhaps won't even remember there was a time when there was something called the Glorious Ottoman Sultanate. Many called it the Khilafat. That was the time when the Islamic leader could write to France. And he would say to the king of France that I heard your women are dancing in public. Remember my women from the Ottoman lands come into your land. If they have to see your women like animals and monkeys dancing, they might become affected. So he said, I'm warning you, you tell those women if they want to dance, they must dance inside, not outside. The king of France reads the letter, he becomes scared. That if I make the leader of the Muslims angry, we'll lose so much of business. The command is given, you women will dance inside, not outside. At that time, so strong. But Allah's system is whatever is high has to have a time that it's going to come down. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, as his brothers dropped him in the well, Islam as a khilafat was then dropped. That also majority of us don't know the history. Recently one friend of ours, he penned down, translated the life of Sultan Abdul Hamid. He was known as the last unique leader of the Ottoman. After him a few other sultans came, but there was no one like him. He was made a leader by the enemy.
The people around him themselves were evil, so they put up his brother. His brother was not doing exactly what he wanted, or his uncle, then they got rid of him, then they brought this one in. He was brought as a puppet. But sometimes the puppet himself rebels. He was the rebel. The people who put him up, he turned against them. And for many years, he said he worked for the sake of the Muslims, but everyone around him was a hypocrite. You know how hard it's to work like that. But he worked. He said, I would be taken to London, I would be taken to France, I would sit in major, major meetings where everyone was united to harm Islam again. And it would happen that he would come out of the meeting and he would spin them all. And what they wanted from him, they could not get that. Very little of his history is known, but it was a unique history. They call him the most, what is called, that he was so pure and innocent, but the whole world regarded him as the worst. The whole Muslim world looked at him that you are the worst, where he was the best. He died for the Ummah, but propaganda made him look like you are the taint of the Ummah. So in some countries they called him Kafir. Other countries they said, we won't call him Kafir, we'll call him Fasiq. Hazrat Madani rahimullah met someone when they were in prison. Now the Khilafat fell. That person was also in prison with Hazrat Madani. Hazrat Madani said, you know, we never could call him Kafir. Then that soldier said, what are you calling Kafir, Fasiq? That was a man that he never missed his Nafal Salah. And Hazrat Madani was like amazed that what news we heard of him and what he was. So there was a lesson that sometimes when you are a Yusuf, all the brothers will not call you a Yusuf. And for me and you, when we look at leaders, we don't know who's the Yusuf. Don't ever listen to the media. And on the basis of media, make a decision, this one is good and that one is bad. The liar could be looking the most unique. And the innocent could be tainted in the worst manner. The most you will say, Allah, if he is good for the ummah, look after him. Unique it was. So Yusuf alayhi salam, everyone spoke bad. Sultan Abdul Hamid, how they spoke of him. And then he wrote when he was in prison. For many years he stayed in prison. Before he stepped down from his rule, he even said to the people that you do not want me. He could have fought for his rule. The military said, we'll stand with you to the ending. He said, blood will not be shed for me. He said, but oh people of Istanbul, after I go, you will see things that will make you and your generations cry. And as soon as he went, then within a few years, the entire Ottoman Sultanate was collapsed. The Khilafat was demolished. The scarves were removed. The ulama were killed. Many of the ulama were the ones who said, he's the bad one. And he said, you will cry, your generations will cry, everyone cried. One man. He saw it all happening. He wrote about the people around him so much. So at that time when Israel came to him, and the Ottomans had many debts, and they told him that we will wipe out all the debts. All we need to do is give, you must give permission that we can purchase certain lands in Palestine. That's when he said that famous sentence, that this land, I don't own it. It was bought with the blood of the Ummah. He said, I will never allow you to purchase this land. So then they threatened him. They said, if we don't give it to us willingly, we will take it by force. If you give it to us, we will honor you and you will remain honored. And if you don't give it to us, we will still take it, but we will disgrace you. He was perhaps one of the few leaders in the Muslim world who was given the strength. And he said, I'll rather be disgraced than sell my deen. He said, I knew from the day they told me what they're going to do, they're going to do it. He said, I saw it happening. He said, I saw everyone ganging against me. He said, the very people who were the first who came in that meeting were the ones who saw me going to prison. He said, he saw everything around him and it fell. How much they did, but they could not kill Islam. So Islam went like Yusuf alayhi salam, where it went. When the Sultanate collapsed to the ground, that part we also never saw. At that time the world was one Muslim world. Then it became states. Then the ulama of Syria were all killed. The ulama of Egypt, good ulama, were removed. The ulama of Iraq were removed. Then there were Muslim lands with no ulama. Meaning there was a land with no Yusuf. There was a land with no Yusuf. You would enter in those lands and you would find modernism, Satanism, atheism, anything. But you would not find the Yusuf. Where was the Yusuf? He wasn't killed. Yusuf alayhi salam was in jail. When the Sultanate collapsed, Islam went into prison. In prison is where me and you woke up. Meaning we were born. We were born in prison. So because we were born in prison, we became used to prison. What happened in the prison? In the prison there was the maktab running there, there was the khanka running there. There was a nice Darul Uloom, we went for the jalsa, we said, what a jalsa. But it was all happening in a prison. Because we grew up in the prison, we said, this is how Islam is meant to be. Always in a prison. No one ever thought a day can come where Islam can go out. Islam can be running the country, Islam can be the mayors, Islam can be the governors. If you want to see an example of it on a very high scale, one example today is, if ever we get the chance, and the world allows it, you visit Afghanistan. Visit Afghanistan, there you will see a mayor. You might be sitting next to him, salah time, and after salah, now he's the boss of the whole town. Now you will see a Muslim rule. And you will see how they rule, how unique they rule. And if you want to see it in a growing state, you can look at the land of Turkey. Islam is coming out of prison. And Almighty Allah has a system that for something to go wild in the whole world, first there is that preparation stages. Preparation is already taking place for the Yusuf to come out of jail. A lot of preparations. Afghanistan is that small preparation for a very big story. Mayors are being born, presidents are being born, leaders are being born. In the prison, it was known that the prison only got Hafiz Saab and Maulana Saab. There was never ever that he is the Qadi, he is the judge. He is the grand judge. He is the leader of all. His one statement affects everyone. It was all in a prison. But Yusuf alayhi salam's story was to say, while you're in the prison, don't ever forget your dream. While he was in the prison, Yusuf alayhi salam did his work. His character changed the people of the prison. So in the prison, his knowledge began affecting others. Allah Ta'ala says, while he was in the prison, people got the news that if you have a dream, go to Yusuf alayhi salam. So people came to him. The good came, the bad came. There was a man who killed. There was a man who tried to kill the king. He also came to Yusuf alayhi salam. And there was a man who was innocent. He also came. The innocent man mentioned his dream. The man who was guilty mentioned his dream. In the prison, Yusuf alayhi salam said to them, before I interpret what you need, your dream, let me give you a dawah to something greater than all dreams. In the prison, the dawah of Yusuf alayhi salam was moving. People were changing. Prisoners were accepting Islam. But it all happened where? In the place where the world never thought it could happen. His brothers never thought he could become famous in jail. But his fame was spreading like anything in jail. When the Khilafat was destroyed, perhaps the world at that time could have thought, let us kill every single Muslim in the world. But instead of doing that, they said, as long as we put our schools and universities, there will remain not a single Muslim in the world. So why kill them? Just leave them. Because of that, Islam was allowed to operate from the prison. While it was in the prison, Hazrat Murana Muhammad Ilyas Rahimullah started his work of tabligh. It started in a prison. The government would look at it. The government would ask, is there any threat in it? Darul Uloom Deoband started, it was in a prison. Prison means the government came, the government looked, they looked all around, they asked, is there any threat? They said, there's no threat. The maktab started, the madari started, everything was happening. And the people on top never thought that if you in jail, your fame can spread in the entire world. But it happens. Around the world, people are accepting Islam. But Islam never go up still. Europeans are accepting Islam. That world that we sometimes say, I wonder what it is to be Europe, European, white. And those white people are saying, I wonder what it is to be a Muslim. The Muslim man is going to England and America. The European is coming to Turkey. In Europe, a believer is losing his iman. That one is coming to Istanbul and reading the kalima. Unique the changes of the world are. How things are happening. So a lot happened in the jail. And thereafter the time came where you become very close to coming out of the jail. This was the ayat I wanted to explain now. When we reach the time that we are very close to coming out, what happens? The king of the time has a dream. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَى سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ سِمَانٍ. Just before this, Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted someone's dream. The dream meant that you are innocent. You will be left off the hook. You will become the king's main man, meaning the cupbearer. So Yusuf alayhi salam said, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَا. From the two of the people, the one who he thought is going to come out alive, meaning the one who was going to be innocent, proven innocent, he said to him, you will become the cupbearer of the king. Udhkurni inda rabbik. He said, one day just tell the king, one day just tell the king that there's an innocent Yusuf in the jail. Why don't you take him out? One day. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. Allah Ta'ala said, the devil made this man forget. What a simple thing it was. One day, فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. Yusuf alayhi salam had to remain in jail for a good couple of more years. And now you're thinking, tomorrow he'll remember me, tomorrow he'll remember. In that there was an indication that there will be many times where this ummah is on the verge of coming out. Just before coming out, the eyes of the people of this ummah will fall on another power. Maybe Russia will help me. And they will just put their trust and Almighty Allah will say, remain in your jail. And the thing will happen. Maybe the UN will sort it out and you will remain in your prison. Maybe this country will come to aid and you will remain. And a time will come where Islam in the jail will understand that everyone outside the jail is a liar. Everyone. And when they lose trust in everyone except Allah, then the people outside will start begging for Islam, it's time you come out. At that time the king saw a dream. He saw a dream that he saw seven cows. They were fat cows. يَأْكُلُهُنَّ سَبْعٌ عِجَافٌ. There were 7 ton cows that were eating the fat cows. So you got your fat, but the ton comes and it opens its mouth and it eats. And then he saw that there were 7, what we will call like grain, which was fresh. And then there was the other 7 that was going to be dry. He said to the people in front of him, what is this dream trying to show? They said that this dream got no meaning. It doesn't make sense. Then the cupbearer remembered and he said, I know a person in the jail. Let me go to him. Now when he comes to Yusuf alayhi salam, he's going to get an interpretation, and that's the crux of this bayan. Yusuf alayhi salam's interpretation is going to be that you will see 7 years of good times. That's your 7 fat cows. Perhaps there's an indication for the world in this. That before Yusuf alayhi salam has to come out of the prison, before Islam has to rise to where its days of glory is, the ummah must be ready for 7 and followed by another 7. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear. There was no need for a dream in this. He said, prior to the coming of Dajjal, you will find years of drought. He was said there will be that where the skies will hold its waters and the crops of the earth will not give itself. The animals will lose. There will be a lot of chaos in the world. He said it will be followed by another one. We're all waiting for Isa alayhi salam to come down. We're all waiting for the glorious period of Islam, that we rule the world. Wherever we want to go, we are meant to be a Yusuf. We are all waiting where our brothers who never knew the truth will all start coming back. Like Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers all came back. But for everything to reach where it has to reach, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us that before the end there will be very, very, very difficult times. During those difficult times, what we call Dajjal, he will not come to me and you as a person with his name tag, I am Dajjal, you want any aid. He will come as a well-wisher to mankind. He will visit that shop that is collapsing. He will visit the farm that is not coming up. He will visit families that have seen drought and the drought is not ending. Whoever at that time is in need, he will be so close to the Mahdi, but because of need, he will lose it right at the end. Who will survive that time? So Yusuf alayhi salam, when he saw this dream, he said, see, you will see 7 years of good times, which is going to be followed by 7 years of difficulty. That 7 years will eat up whatever you had seen. He said, say to the king, during your days of ease, you must now prepare for the days of difficulty. Don't live as though the difficult day is not going to come. He said, now in the next 7 years, you will eat a little and you will store. You will eat a little and you will store. So that when that 7 years of difficulty come, forget you having food for yourself, you will be able to help everyone around also. When the drought came, Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers had to come from another land to Yusuf alayhi salam, because he had prepared the lands of Egypt for difficult days. There's an indication in the surah. Every one of us, we have a dream, and the dream is not far from being realized. Afghanistan winning this war is that opening window that the time is coming, that this ummah no longer will it just be in the prison, you coming out of the prison. It is the first time in Islamic history from the time the Khilafat fell, that the most powerful armies at the present time in the world are Muslim armies. There's still a lot of tape in front of them. Turkey is regarded as the strongest army, what in they call NATO. Things are happening at a very fast pace. Almighty Allah, when He wants decisions, the people of Afghanistan, those that met them, they themselves say, we're still living in shock how we won that war. They themselves could not understand how it happened. If you ask Yusuf alayhi salam, what happened to you? He said, for years and years I waited for that man to mention me. And when I lost hope, the king thought of me. Suddenly things happen. When Allah wants it to happen, it's going to happen like anything. It will happen so fast. We are already seeing the dream coming true. But that thing will reach its peak when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there will be those difficult days. During those difficult days, certain narrations mentioned, you will see a time that besides gold, nothing will be of value. What was meant by it, who knows, but perhaps we will see a time that all our currencies, whether the world will make it digital in the next few years, and everything will be in a dream world, and people will be more rich in the metaverse than in the real universe. And a lot of money will be channeled there. And a man will be happy in his house that I am rich, I am wealthy, this is my sofa, this is my painting. But everything has a dream. And in the real world, everything will be digital. It will be this account and that account and that account. But in a second, there can be no account. Perhaps me and you might see a time. And if not us, then perhaps our children. But at least we can take a lesson. We saw what happened in South Africa. We saw how COVID shook the entire world. We saw how one riot shook South Africa. We saw how overnight the man who thought everything is going well, everything collapsed. As-sa'idu man wu'idha bighayrihi. Unique is that man who takes lesson from others. Don't live now the next few years thinking that the next seven is going to be like these seven. We got a few years where everything is going well now. Everything is opening up in the world. Immediately everyone is saying, I'm booking for here, I'm booking from there. There's no problem now. Move in the world, but be like Yusuf alayhi salam. That now what Allah gives you, you will use and you will prepare. You will use and you will prepare. So what is that preparation? When we and you hear preparation, the only thing we think about is money. Preparation is not only in money. Yusuf alayhi salam prepared the people of Egypt in many ways. During that 7 years, the king pulled him out. The king said, to prepare, I'll never manage it. He said, I want you to be in charge. You come. When Yusuf alayhi salam took charge of Egypt, what did he do? How did he prepare? Number one, he prepared the people of Egypt to be generous. That the day when the whole world is in drought, and they will start coming to us, we can't charge them high prices. The people of Egypt in those 7 years, he created an army who were honest and who were generous. You want to be the rulers of tomorrow or your children? The entire system of education at the moment is live for yourself. Steal how much you can steal. Lie wherever you can lie. If you want to be in the army of the Mahdi, you will have to be a Sadiqul Amin from today. The angels have to see that this person can be the advisor to the people of the future. He never lied. He was never stingy. He was never greedy. Whatever he got, he always said, little for me and something for the other. Now is the time to create within us. We saw the days where we gave bread to people. And even the non-Muslim was ready to cry and say, what a good man you are. It should not be that we just forgot that day. Things are opening up. In the next few years, let us walk on a road of Yusuf alayhi salam. That the next seven might not be as easy as these seven. I must already have preparations. My mind must be prepared. My wife and my child must be prepared. Prepared for what? That, oh my child, perhaps South Africa in the next 7 years or in the next 4 years might not be our land. Then daddy, where's our land? And our land is wherever we can get closer to the Mahdi. We will reach that land even if it means we'll have to leave behind everything. But for that the mind has to be. Waqi'at of Sahaba in today's time is essential that we live through it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the announcement of the hijrat. Suhaib Rumi, his incident is mentioned, Fazail-e Amal, when Hikayat-e Sahaba is read. He made a journey. In that journey, he looked at whatever wealth he had. So whatever he couldn't carry, he buried. One day I'll come back to Makkah Mukarramah, I'll get this. Whatever he could take of value, he put it on his animal. He jumped. He said, I'm making a journey for Allah. It's supposed to be the angels must protect me from all sides. The opposite happened. They caught him on the road. He jumps off his animal. He says, you know, I will not surrender until all my arrows. Many will die. What do you all want from me? They said, you came to the land poor. And now you want to take the wealth away somewhere else. So he said, if it is wealth, then I tell you whatever is on this animal, I'll drop it. That was not little on that animal, it was his life. But they were still not ready. Then he said, that if I tell you where I buried my wealth of my life, it's easy to say it, let me put you in another context. It's me or you. Now I have to leave. So quickly I'll put something somewhere. And I say, maybe one day when the Mahdi gets everything sorted out, this is my life earnings. And that little bit, then I'll tell my family. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sab, Mufti Taqi Usmani was asked to write your life story. So he wrote this part of the life of his father. He said, just when the house was built in Deoband, how his father wanted the house. Just when the garden was prepared, how he wanted it to be prepared. When everything was ready, he said his father even made a frame that you were not here yesterday and you won't be here tomorrow. Meaning this house doesn't belong to you. He even made that frame, like how we make the frame. He said he never thought he's going, but then the decision came that let's leave. Everyone is talking in India, how to leave? At the borders, the Indian soldiers were stopping every Muslim. That you can go to Pakistan, but you do not take wealth with you to Pakistan. Even material they were stopping. Even material. Your clothes were allowed. Any material also was kept back. Now how do you take wealth? The best was you go to the goldsmith. And you tell him, this is the jewelry of my wife. Can you make it into a necklace? And she'll wear this necklace because the soldiers were not searching the bodies. They were searching the bags. His whole life is in that necklace. He says, before my father left the house, he said, Allah, will you in your kindness remove the love of my possessions before I make this journey towards you? He says, he stepped out of the house, he never even had to look back. He went and his only hope was in the necklace. That if ever in Pakistan there's a problem, then we'll have sell this and that gold will pull us for a good couple of years. He said, they went, their bags were open, how much was gone? Why are we saying this? Who knows? Allah give us all izzat, afiyat, rahat, salamati, who doesn't want it? But sometimes to reach a dream, there has to be a little bump on the way. The one who's prepared for the dream, when it comes, he doesn't collapse. He continues walking, even if it's difficult. Even if they're crying, they will still say, but I got a dream. He made the journey, he settled in Pakistan. For a while, the government was paying them, they had some work to do, things were okay. Then the government work finished, now things became tight. Now many families are coming, now the amount which he was spending on them, he couldn't spend. Finally, he said to his wife, the days are difficult. So many people living in our apartment, now it's time to sell up. What we got, we will sell that. The dua, he said, the love of my possessions, Allah, let it not walk with me. He said, his father never once cried for that house. But the dua was not only for the house. Now he reached. They took out the necklace, they went to the person to say, this gold that is here now, we need it to be changed. How much will you pay for it? The man took that thing, he looked at it, he said, this is fake. This is fake. The goldsmith on that side, it could have been a Muslim goldsmith, whoever it was, he robbed the whole family. What he made was not what was given. The man said, this is fake, Mufti Sahib. At that time, you can have a heart attack. Mufti Taqi Usmani says, my father smiled. He said, he smiled. When I read that, I thought of Suhaib Rumi. The question is, why did Allah make that happen? Was it not that you sacrificed for me, I'll look after your wealth? It was that you made hijrat, I wanted your hijrat to be accepted in all corners. Even the money you wanted to take, I was not going to let you take it. Even that had to be sacrificed for me. So Suhaib Rumi, what he buried, he told them in the ending, I'll tell you where I buried it. He left Makkah Mukarramah with zero. He enters Medina Munawwara, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh sees him. Suhaib Rumi was a master businessman. Master businessman. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh sees him and he says, what a deal you hit. So he said, on the journey there was no business. Like, what deal you speaking about? Abu Bakr radiallahu anh laughs and he says, let me not talk. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what a deal. He asked, what deal? He said, Jibreel alayhi salam said this word, what a deal. He said, you had made a business deal with Almighty Allah. What a deal. It was that you will be ready to give all of this year for something else. But sometimes Allah signs. If we see those few hiccups to reach that dream, I want you all to think about this. This world is very lovely and enjoyable and we all want the best. But if something happens along the way, the people of South Africa, perhaps in the world, we have been spoilt with the best and the easiest of deen. Religious freedom, perhaps in the world you don't get it like how you get it here. From members in South Africa we could say certain things, which we say in another country, the mutawalli is shivering in front of us. Forget anybody else, that mutawalli is shivering. So scared. In South Africa, no one is scared. No one. So much religious freedom. South Africa, we had breakfast, lunch and supper whenever we wanted. The only thing that ever made us scared in South Africa is either the lights are going off or in this masjid, the water going off. There's no fear. Other countries, if the water goes, they don't tell you, just hold on, it's coming. There's no water. So much we had seen of the gifts of Almighty Allah. We live like a Yusuf in the company of Yaqub alayhi salam. If ever something happens, we don't know what our future is going to be. But be prepared like Yusuf alayhi salam prepared the people. Your children must be taught, I and you must be taught. Become a Mufti Muhammad Shafi before the time comes for hijrat. That I built my house, but it is not for me. I'm putting up this building, but it is not to live. We will invest little and we will prepare lot. There has to be now, one is the mind must be ready every day. At any moment a call could be made. At that moment I must be ready to drop luxury like anything. I must be ready to say the next few days will be without bread and water. But it's for a dream that if I can be with Isa alayhi salam in the same masjid, then I'll live for that. Every sahabi who narrated the hadith of Isa alayhi salam would tell his student that if you meet Isa alayhi salam, give him my salams at least. We got a dream in front of us. So we will tell our children that if your father doesn't make it to that masjid, then maybe you will make it. But you making it means you will have to climb that mountain. Are you ready for it? And if that boy lives in a metaverse dream, that you have been created to just enjoy, then that person is never going to find his dreams. He loves to die in this world. Me and you, our wives, our children, as we make journeys in the world now, let the mind be prepared. If Niyom is starting in 2025, before the child says, Daddy, I want to go, it has to be said that, do you know this is the beginning of the end? This is the beginning of the end. Now I'll take you inside. Now that individual will walk through the city, he will see the devil's face everywhere. He will be able to point out to his child, see, that is Firaun and the results of Firaun. He will say, that is Haman and Qarun. Where they will have it with flashy lights, he will say, this and this and this. Everything is going to collapse. If the mind is ready for a dream, then you will be like a Yusuf alayhi salam, and you will not see seven fat cows. You will be looking at the seven thin cows that are coming after. And he said, and after the seven thin, ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ عَامٌ, after that such a year will come, فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسِ, in which great help will come to humanity. Everyone will enjoy. Everyone will be making their juice. He said, we're living for that dream. During his time, he prepared for that. If me and you can prepare, when those days come, not only will we protect our iman, we will be able to help the iman of others also. If there is something you have, your mind is prepared, your wealth is prepared, you have placed it in certain places, that you know if the government closes accounts, there is some wealth you can access which doesn't work with accounts. That wealth is not to build another house, but it is to say little for me and little for you. Little for me and little for you. When that individual will do that, he will find he will be a Yusuf of the future. May Allah tabarak ta'ala, we don't know what the future is. It was said that as if you reach there and you find it never happened, no one will ever worry. And we will say how smooth it was to the end. But if that journey becomes a little rough in the future, it must not be that we were not told prepare for that rough patch. Just before it comes, you were going to a journey, the person stopped. Why he stopped? He said, we're going to climb rough terrain now. So he said, I have to take out a little air from the tires, because these tires will burst. Meaning the life that we are living will burst if our terrain has to change. So what do? You take out a little bit of the pressure. Me and you must now release a little bit. Our lives of luxury just needs to drop little. Just a little. Women have to be made to understand that now it's not just enjoy. Now it is prepare for the dream. Now it's not just buy. Now it's become happy with a little. Now it's not every time I'll buy a cloak, I will buy matching shoes. Now it is one cloak will last me for very long, and I will think about those who got no cloaks. No more there has to be in our house that as I buy, then I'm making more cupboards. Now it has to be I don't have cupboards, so I won't buy. There were ulama in the past, at the end of the year, whatever they never used for the whole year, they said it's not permissible for this to now stay in our house. If I never use it for four seasons, there's no need for it anymore. We reached a stage where the opposite happened. The man had Lord's shoes. The woman got too many shoes. She can open up a shoe shop. Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib says he went for one bayan. It was a small town. He was very happy that the attendance of the woman was very good. How he understood it very good is when you enter, then you see the amount, when you come to the masjid, you see cars. They say, top program. You enter the masjid, there's hardly anyone there, because everyone is driving one car. So 100 cars mean only 100 people. There's no place for the cars. So when you go for a woman's program, you look at shoes. So you see, Lord shoes, it means Lord people. So he came out, he was so happy, he told, like, surprised, small town. Such a good attendance. His wife said, no, like few women. He said, so many shoes, but he said, the auntie of the house, she owns all those shoes. All his one aunties. Are we living like that? Go home today and look at your shoes and say, this is not the preparation for the dream. These shoes now need to be given to Al-Imdad to say, the man who got no shoes, maybe he can wear this. This jacket I haven't worn for very long, it needs to go. And not that I immediately go to buy. It is now I must see that am I ready for the day where maybe I'll have to wear one kurta for the entire month. Am I ready for that day? So let me try one for the week, one for the day, one for 2 days. I'll wear one, I'll wash one, I'll wear one, I'll wash one. Will there be a problem if in my cupboard there's only 3 kurtas? Will I die? Will anyone die? And as you will move on this path, you will see it is very easy for the people of this ummah to prepare like a Yusuf. The only thing is, you have to have a dream. You have to have a dream. When those difficult days will come, and Dajjal will show himself, and when he will come to farms, and he will say to a farmer, that if you want your crops to give life like anything, it might happen on that day it's me or you, or it's our children that's running a farm. They have to be so independent with the heart at that day, that they will have to be able to say in the face of Dajjal, that I haven't come in this world to live as a farmer. So if my farm has to collapse for my akhirah to be made, I'm ready for it. But that boy will give the answer then, whose preparation is now. So now our maktab system is no longer only that do you know how to read Quran? And do you know one, two of this masalas and one, two of that masalas? In the next few years, our madaris have to be iman building centers. Iman building centers means that boy has to have a mission in life. That girl has to have a mission in life. You no longer the next doctor and the next lawyer. You are the next flag bearer of Islam. Oh my child, are you ready for it? The first dars of the child with the ustad has to be that if I don't live for that day, will you give my salams to Isa alayhi salam? That's that first thing the child must hear. So it must dream. You think I'll meet Isa. And it must live on that dream. It must live. In recent times, many of our children, meaning your children, when they have written, they have had dreams that they are on those horses. They have had dreams that they are in an army. Whether it's really them or it's the preparation for their progeny. But dreams are brought to say, don't forget your dream. Start preparing for it. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make what I said beneficial to all. How to prepare, I also don't know. But your mind, your ability, the main thing is if you got a dream in front, when you're going to invest, you will think 100 times where to invest. When you're going to go for education, you will think 100 times what education. When that boy says, I want to decide what to do, he will think 100 times because he got a dream. He says, in the day of that dream, I need to know the Arabic language. If I don't know it very well, I need to know it to a certain extent. I need to know Quran with the meaning of Quran to a certain extent. I need to know the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I need to have a mizaj that if I am told to jump on a horse, I am able to jump and to ride. I can't be the one that when the horse comes, I need 100 people to put me on that horse. So from today, preparation will be made of the father, the mother, that my child must be a natural horse rider. My child must be a natural shooter of an arrow. It must be able to hit the target, whether it's a girl or a boy. My child must be a natural swimmer. My child must be able to climb a mountain. Because we have said it many a time in the past, if the Mahdi has to come, it will not be the best for my and your child to be asked, what can you do? And the only thing he says, either cook or eat. There will be something like, it's an honor for our children to get martyrdom in that. But for them to be told, go ahead in this dream, it meant that the father from before said that you have been born for this. I will end with one incident. May Allah make that I become that parent and you. on the first meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Aqaba, where the Sahaba radiallahu anhu's Jamaat came to say, now we are ready. So it was called the Big Pledge. The year before it was about 12, but the following year, but the bigger Jamaat came to say, now we are ready. A woman came with the two children. And she took the pledge of allegiance that if you come to Medina Munawwara, we will give our lives for you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the pledge of everyone by hand, and the two women were told, without the hand, your pledge has been heard. Then she told her two children, you all are young at the moment, you also pledge. They went and they pledged allegiance. Young boys, you say, small boys, big talk. I will do this, I will do this. They took the promise. Already in the battle of Uhud, Allah accepted that whole family. In the battle of Uhud, the husband, the wife, and the two children fought. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he saw it, he said, Allah, your special mercy on this family. That woman, she went out to help the weak. But in the battle, when she saw Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam getting attacked, she fought. This woman fought and she killed. For that to happen, it means she had to grow up as a woman who could defend herself. Her children fought. They survived. She took part in every battle after that with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She always went to aid the sick. But she was a ready-made fighter. If ever there was a need to take out the weapon, she would take it out. And then the era of Musaylama Kadhab came. At the end of the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this man made a claim, I am the Nabi. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her son, that you will go to him like an ambassador, a delegation, a message. The law was the messenger can never be killed. Musaylama Kadhab was against all laws. So the boy was taken. Now the boy was of an advanced age. Musaylama Kadhab said, what do you say of Muhammad? He said, he is the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, very good. He said, then what about me? Am I also the messenger? So the boy then looked at him and said, I don't know what you're saying. I can't hear you. Musaylama Kadhab then cut. Where he cut, we don't really know. But he cut a limb. And as the boy was bleeding, then he asked the question again, what do you say? So the boy said, sir, I don't know what you're saying. I can't hear you. So he cut another limb. History just writes it that his limbs were cut while he was alive. Same question, then a cut. Same question, then a cut. The brother most likely narrated that his brother died bleeding. He died bleeding. Everything of the body was cut while he was alive, like, until the body had no more blood, like. The mother was informed. So this was a mother who was ready for the dream. Two things she said which were unique. May Allah make our families that. The one is she said, بَايَعَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ صَبِيًّا. That he took the allegiance when he was a child to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَوَفَّى كَبِيرًا. And Allah allowed him to fulfill the promise when he became big. May Allah make every one of our children make that pledge. That we are born for that dream. For us is not a metaverse. For us is not the internet. For us is not Facebook. For us is not Disneyland and Superman. We got a dream in front. And our hand has been placed. And if we have to die for that dream, we're ready for it. وَوَفَّى كَبِيرًا. His pledge was heard when he was young. May Allah hear the pledge of every one of us. You make that pledge to Allah. We are different from the world. And the second thing, she said that I had given birth to him so that this could happen. She said, I had prepared him for this. Meaning I wanted him to be cut for Allah. Where you are telling me what happened to my son, for her it was my dream has come true. Only a woman will say that who had a dream. All of us need a dream. Our life is different from the ones who got no dream. Bring the dream in front and our entire mission in life will change. Then you will not be thrilled of a band of a watch, of a phone, of a car. Whatever we look at, we will look beyond because we will be looking at our dream. May Allah Tabarakallah make every one of us the Yusuf of the era. May Allah Tabarakallah make us the families, the fathers. May Allah make us the parents of those who are going to carry the flag of Islam in the future. May Allah inspire us all that the path that we take now in the next few years, it's called the path of preparation. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.